temperature. Then we'll charge the stern. Take him as he comes back aboard. Too late, said Esterhazy. At our rate of speed, he's already back aboard, and no doubt waiting for us to make that very move. Pendergast crouched behind the stern, waiting for his assailants to come. The brief immersion had shorted out the headset, a pity, but the recent events implied that it had become useless anyway. He tossed it overboard. The vessel swept along, traversing the narrows. The Verrazano Bridge glowed overhead, and they passed beneath it, the graceful arches of light swinging back behind them as the boat forged ahead, headed for the outer bay and the open ocean beyond. And still Pendergast waited. Chapter 73. Falconer stared at Esterhazy.
We can still beat him, he said. We've still got half a dozen men armed to the teeth. We're going to mass the men, make a full frontal assault.
I doubt you have that many left, Esterhazy cried. Don't you see? He's killing us one by one. No brute force attack is going to work. We need to outthink him.
Falconer, breathing heavily, stared at him. And in truth, Esterhazy had been thinking furiously since leaving the engine room. But things were happening too fast. There just wasn't time. Pendergast and Constance were...
Constance? Yes, it could work. It could.
He turned toward Falconer.
That business of the woman flushed him out. That's where he's vulnerable.
It won't work again.
Yes, it will. We'll use the woman. For real this time.
Falconer frowned.
For what purpose? I know, Pendergast. Believe me, this will work.
Falconer stared at him. He wiped his brow.
All right, go get the woman. I'll wait here with Schultz.
A short corridor connected the engine room to the forward cargo hold. Reaching the bottom of the stairs, Esterhazy sprinted down the corridor, threw open the door, entered, then slammed it shut, dogging it. No lockpicker could get through that. The floor was spotless after the killing of the journalist the day before, the sailcloth gone. He went to the hatch in the middle of the V-shaped hold, undogged it, and threw it open. In the dim bilge, the young woman's face stared up at him, hair matted, face smeared with engine oil. As the light gleamed in her irises, Esterhazy was once again taken aback by the naked, overpowering hatred he saw in them. It was a most unnerving expression, suggesting unfathomable violence, yet overlaid with a kind of detached, frozen calm. Her mouth was gagged and taped. Esterhazy found himself grateful she could say nothing.
I'm taking you out. Please don't struggle.
Snugging his gun into the waistband of his pants, he reached down and seized her hair with one hand, grasping her around the shoulders with the other. Her mouth and hands were still securely taped, but that did not prevent a struggle. He managed to pull her out, the baleful stare still fixated on him. Esterhazy pushed her toward the door, then he paused a moment, listening. Holding her in front of him as a shield, in case they ran into Pendergast, he undogged the door, opened it, and pushed her forward, keeping his gun trained on the base of her skull. The corridor was empty.
Start walking.
Esterhazy directed her down the corridor to the forward stairway. They climbed it, ultimately emerging onto the foredeck. The vessel was moving through a moderate sea into a cold headwind. The lights of Manhattan were a distant glow, the graceful arc of the Verrazano Bridge receding into the darkness behind them. He could feel the roll of the ship. They were now in open ocean. Falconer's face was even paler than when he'd left.
Nobody can raise Eberstark or Bauman, he said. And look what happened to Nast.
He pointed at the main deck railing, where a body hung limply, dripping blood.
We've got to work fast, Esterhazy replied. Follow my lead.
Falconer nodded.
You and Schultz hold her tight, but be careful. I'm cutting her free.
The two men grabbed Constance. She had stopped struggling. Esterhazy uncuffed her hands, freeing her. Then he removed the tape from around her mouth.
I'll kill you for what you've done, she immediately told him.
Esterhazy glanced at Falconer.
We're going to throw her overboard.
Falconer stared.
You do that, and we lose our only...
Just the opposite.
But she's just a lunatic. He won't trade his life for hers. He'll let her drown.
I was wrong, Esterhazy said. She's not crazy at all. Pendergast cares for her, deeply. Tell the captain to mark a waypoint on the GPS when she goes over. Hurry. They manhandled her to the rail. Suddenly she gave a short, sharp cry and began to struggle ferociously.
No, she said. Don't do it. I can't. Esterhazy stopped.
Can't what?
I can't swim.
Esterhazy cursed. Get a life preserver. Falconer extracted one from one of the life-saving containers on the deck. Esterhazy grabbed it and tossed it to her.
Put it on.
She began to put on the life preserver. Her icy composure had returned, but her hands were shaking now, and she fumbled with the latch.
I can't seem to.
Esterhazy went over and buckled the front, bending over to tighten the strap. With a sudden movement, she brought her fist up, smashing him in the chin. He staggered and saw her nails once again clawing for his eyes. With a grunt of pain, he twisted free and shook her off. She fell on the deck. Falconer kicked her in the side, then grabbed her hair, hauling her to her feet, while Schultz seized her and wrenched her toward the rail, pinning her arms. She cried out, head flailing, trying to bite them.
Easy, said Esterhazy sharply. Don't hurt her, or our plan will fail.
Lift, cried Falconer, grabbing her by the shoulder. Now! She struggled with sudden, frantic, shocking strength.
Over, called Falconer.
In one galvanic movement, they heaved her over the rail into the ocean. She landed with a splash and after a moment resurfaced, flailing, her cries rising for a brief time over the rumble of wind and water, then fading away rapidly as she disappeared into the darkness. Chapter 74. Pendergast began running toward the bow as soon as he heard her cries. As he sprinted along the walkway, he glimpsed a flash of white plummeting into the water and saw Constance sweep past, then disappear in the darkness behind the wake. For a moment he was paralyzed with shock. Then he understood. He heard a voice coming from the forward deck. Esterhazy.
Aloysius, it called out. You hear me? Come out with your hands up. Surrender. You do that, and we'll turn the boat around. Otherwise, we keep going. Hurry!
Pendergast, his .45 drawn, didn't move.